Welcome to the All Things Cultivated Podcast. I am your host, Sharonda Berry, registered nurse turned holistic health and wellness coach, here to help you cultivate a Christ-centered life of health, wealth, and wholeness. Get ready to find your self-worth, to set healthy boundaries, stop living in fear, foster healthy relationships with man and money, all while having a good time doing it. Let's dive in. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast, guys. Welcome to the podcast. Listen, your girl is ready. You know I'm always excited, right? But your girl is super ready today. I'm in a different state of being ready. You know, they say if you are ready, you don't have to get ready. If you stay ready, you got to get ready. Okay, so your girl is ready today. I really am. Excited as always. Anytime I get the opportunity, I'm blessed to get behind this mic. I'm excited for it. I'm also excited about the up and coming new year. That's probably why you clicked the title. I'm super stoked about what God has done in 2023, and I'm even more so excited about the upcoming year. And that's saying a lot about someone who was never happy about even just waking up in the morning. Right. So if I go from not even wanting to wake up in the morning to being excited about not only the next day, but the next year, you know that God is good. With that being said, it's the final stretch of the new year, guys. Where my girl at? It's the final stretch of the new year. And it's that time of the year where we begin to look at that upcoming year with high hopes and with high expectations, somehow believing that with the rollover of the calendar, somehow there's going to be a magical transformation. I ask, what are you wishing for? What are you hoping for? What are you praying for the new calendar year? What changes are you hoping to experience? I hate to be the bearer of not so great news, but 2024 will most likely yield pretty much the same results as 2023, unless you intentionally do something different. Now, if you're an A1 since day one, or you have the podcast on automatic download, you most likely clicked because of the title, hoping that I was going to tell you something in this podcast episode, which was going to allow prosperity to be your portion. And if so, I mean, I pray this for you as well. I want you to be prosperous. In fact, so does God. It is his desire for us to be prosperous. And I got to say, because God is good like that. Well, you know, he is one worthy of praise, of glory and honor. And contrary to some of these new age beliefs that are floating around here that really had me on a chokehold for a moment, you know, God is not a dictator. He's not a harsh leader. He is not an oppressor. And he is not merely the figment of the colonizer's imagination. I once heard God being described as that, the figment of the imagination of the colonizer. Well, not only is he more than those things, but he is real. And he wants only the best for those who wish to be in covenant with him. Now, he's not going to force anything or anybody because he believes in free will. But for those who are determined and who wish to be in covenant with him, he wants you to be prosperous. Now, where we were failed in the prosperity gospel is that too much emphasis was placed on the prospering monetarily as opposed to prospering spiritually, prospering within our mind, our will, or our emotions. I say this again, it's God's desire for us to be prosperous, people. Nothing about him speaks lack. This desire, of course, includes, but is not limited to financial security. And although it is an important factor, it's not the most important. Now, I know you're going to say, now, girl, what is more important? What's more important than a financially secure life? I'm glad you asked. I am so glad you asked. The answer is a life in which your soul prospers. I have been in a point where I've had what some would consider to be lack, and I was happy. And I've had what some would consider to be okay, and I was miserable. So the Bible said, for what does it profit a man to gain the world but to lose his soul? So once again, I say a life in which your soul prospers is way more important than a life of financial security. Now, the scripture I read was from Mark 8. So what does it profit a man to gain the world but lose his soul? And the world there was Greek, and it means cosmos, the whole circle of earthly goods, endowment, riches, advantages, pleasure, etc. Okay, so because, you know, that's how I'm studying now. Like, I'm all up in the Bible and defining words and things. So what is our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions? So with that being in mind, let's go back to Mark 8 and say, what does it profit us to have all the money in the world, but our mind is tormented, right? What good will it do for us to be financially secure, but we lack willpower or self-discipline? How do we expect long-term success if we're financially free, but we cannot rule over our own emotions? You get it? Your mind, your will, your emotions. If your mind is tormented, you have no willpower, self-discipline, or you can't even rule over your emotions. What kind of prosperity are you going to have? Most likely, it will result in the loss of finances, because the person I just described, someone who cannot control their emotions, the Bible describes as foolish. And we are warned in Proverbs, a fool and his money shall what? Soon part. However, this is not the will of the Father for our lives. It is God's will that we are healthy and prosperous, according to 3 John 2. Beloved, one of my favorite scriptures, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Once again, not only does he want us to prosper, but he wants us to be in good health, and he wants our mind, our will, and our emotions to be able to prosper as well. And today, part one of this episode, let's concentrate on the mind portion of the soul, because this is a major battlefield. It is difficult to prosper in any area of your life, whether it be your physical body, your relationships, your finances, or any other realm, if you are not prospering within your mind, your will, or emotions. Let's look at some scriptures for this. So I'm going to look these up real quick, because it's Proverbs 25. Okay. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, and spirit there is defined as temper, anger, impatience, impulse, more character. It's like a city that is broken down without walls. So once again, let's put these definitions in there. We're going to take out the word spirit. He that hath no ruler over his own temper is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that has no rule over his own anger is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that hath no rule over his own patience is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that has no rule over his own moral character, his own impulses, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And then in Proverbs 16, it says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that can take a city. Now, bring this into a better perspective, because I know I just said a lot without saying a lot. And some people are going to be like, you know, what is she talking about? But just bring this into perspective. Okay, so back in the biblical days, the cities were often built with massive walls for protection. And the one thing that comes to mind is Jericho. Maybe that's not a good example, because those walls did fall, but let's go there. It was one of the most fortified cities in the Bible. Let's just say that, right? They had walls. Their walls were walling. I don't even know if that's a thing. But anyway, and you would have to conquer that wall in order to invade and take over a city. The more fortified the wall, the greater the victory, because it took great strength. It took skill. It took knowledge. It took persistence to get over that wall, right? However, God is saying that a person who can simply, or maybe not so simply, but God is saying someone who can control his temper, his anger, or in essence, his emotion, is greater than someone who can penetrate the walls of a fortified city and overtake it. Do you understand how much strength it takes to take a city that's fortified with walls? Do you know how impossible of a task or a difficult task that is? God is saying that a person who can just control his or her emotions is greater than someone who can take a city. Man, it would take far more strength to rule over your emotions than it would to get through those walls. God also states that our inability to control our temper, our anger, and our emotions is likened to a city wall that has already been destroyed. You know, so that's the second scripture I read. Right? Because if your walls were destroyed, the city is vulnerable to attacks, right? From everybody, from the enemy, for everybody. So if your desire is to have a prosperous 2024, do not allow the inability to control your soul leave you susceptible to the attack of the enemy. I don't know if I said that right. Because I be speaking so fast that I be getting tongue-tied. I get excited about the word. Sometimes, okay, let me say this again. If you want to have a prosperous 2024, don't allow your inability to control your soul, your inability to control your mind, the inability to control your will, the inability to control your emotions. Don't allow that to leave you susceptible to the attack of the enemy. Let's talk more about these walls, girl. So listen, our experience with walls and gates today kind of resemble, you know, biblical times, as they, you know, they will safeguard the inhabitants of a neighborhood, right? You, especially if you go into a good, nice enough neighborhood, you're not even going to get in that joint because you can't get through. They not only have the gate and the lit code, they're going to have somebody standing in a little shed. They're like, can I help you? You don't look like you're around here, right? Sometimes the gates and the walls kind of do the same thing, but I've also seen some gates and some in not so higher upper end, but it's still the same thing, supposedly for protection, to keep the unwanted on the outside. That's what the walls are for, or the gates are for. Today, it's just not necessarily the only means of protection. Back in the biblical days, that was their most effective defense, the strength and integrity of those walls, right? They will make sure they had someone appointed that would shut the gates and stay in guard. They're going to be watching and, you know, for intruders and invaders. They would also be constantly inspecting the wall, because you couldn't just have weaknesses anywhere. And sometimes you don't even have to be getting attacked. Just sometimes just the mere wear and tear of having a wall, just life. You understand? It's just going to, if you have a car and you're just driving normally, nobody has to cut your tires. If you drive enough miles on them, you're going to have to change your tires. You're going to wear down the tread. So, you know, the gates are up there. The wall is up there. So they would have not only people that's going to be watching it for intruders and invaders, but they will also be constantly inspecting for wear and tear or possible breaches that could facilitate a sneak attack, right? And once they find a breach, you got to repair it immediately. For this year, I kept saying that I am a repairer of the breach of my family, right? I am constantly in prayer, constantly fasting to be a repairer of the breach. And so that's what they would have, somebody on guard to make sure that any breaches were repaired immediately. So today we're talking about metaphorical walls built to protect our minds, our emotions, or better yet, our souls. In biblical times, these walls were extremely necessary. Keep the unwanted intruders outside. Wasn't built to keep the inhabitants locked in. It was to keep the people that didn't need to be in there outside. There's a difference. These walls don't, you know, they're not built to prevent the people who are no threat to the well-being from entering. I'm always repeating stuff. I hope that's not annoying, because that's how I learn, repetition. I just meditate on the word. I like to chew on it, mutter it. I like to go over and over. That's how I learn. Our heart are the inhabitants of the city, and the wall is our mind. And so just like the walls were there in the biblical times, the wall wasn't there to keep the inhabitants in. They were to keep the intruders out. And that's the same thing today. We put up these walls. It's not to keep everybody in. It's to keep the unnecessary people out. Let me just say that, because a lot of people look at God as a dictator, always thinking, oh, well, the Bible says I can't do this. The Bible says I can't do that. The Bible says God doesn't want this for me. He doesn't want me to have fun, doesn't want me to have this. It's not that he has rules in place to keep you from having a life. The rules are in place actually to keep you safe. It's to keep you from experiencing stuff that we have no business experiencing. biblical times, the gates will be closed, but they still opened up. It wasn't the city had gates. They had a wall and they had gates, meaning that you can come in and you can go out. Because the city didn't ever open its walls to traders or merchants or doctors or even new inhabitants, right? They're going to soon die out, right? You need people from the outside coming in. Then if you run out of stuff from the inside, you need to be able to go out to get it. So today, many of us are dying emotionally because we allow negative experiences to keep everybody outside the gate. We got these walls erected. We have the gates up there and we let absolutely no one in. And you can't have a thriving city by keeping the gates closed. Your heart is the inner city. That's where all our activity take place. And our mind is that surrounding wall and the gates. So the mind is surrounding our heart. The key to a mentally healthy life is not to emotionally lock ourselves in, but to use the spirit of discernment concerning those who are worthy of getting into those gates. Like, we can't just let the gate open for everybody, but we can't just close it out to everybody too. Satan is constantly seeking our heart. He wants it to become cold. He wants it to become stony. He wants us to be bitter. He wants it to be hardened, right? But he has to work from the outside in. He's trying to get into that city. Once again, I told you, the city is our heart. And our mind is the wall and the gates. And the enemy that we got, you know, we got people perched up there. We got the Holy Ghost. We have pastors and apostles and teachers and all of those things. We got everybody on the wall looking out there at Satan while he's trying to attack. He's trying to get to our heart through our mind. How does he do this? He attacks the walls that surround our heart or our mind. That's what he does. He constantly attacks our mind with negative thoughts, with negative words, with negative emotions that are going to chip away, chip, chip, chip. And eventually they're going to leave these little openings. Remember when I talked about the breaches? We're going to have all these little breaches eventually. And then he'll have entry into the city. If we don't just plop the gates down, sometimes he can just chip, chip, chip away at the wall itself. And the next thing you know, he's on the inside. Are you guarding your heart with all diligence? Are you monitoring your walls daily? Are your soldiers and your citizens vigilant? Are they standing guard? Are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we meditating? You know, are we in the word? Are we paying attention? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit that's within us? Because those are all the things that we need. If not, what are you doing? If your walls fall, so does your city. In other words, if your mind fails, your heart will soon follow. Every day we deal with Satan attacks on our mind. Can you recall the last time you thought, I'm a failure? I'm stupid. I never do anything right. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm unattractive. These are examples of the enemy attacking the wall of your mind. You know why? Because he's trying once again to get to your heart. We must stop Satan's lies from entering our gates. We got to stop him from penetrating the walls. And I know you're asking, well, how we do that? I'm glad you asked. Can you tell I'm super excited about this message today? Yes, ma'am. The first step is to identify your specific attack. Procrastination, self-pity, a defeatist mentality, whatever the common thought pattern is that's going to cause you pain. As an example, I'll just choose a thought that the enemy comes with me often, which is, you are a failure. Oh my gosh. How many times have I thought that? Like, that was just all the way in my heart. As a man thinking it in his heart, so is he. Baby. The enemy knew how to get me with that. Not only that, he would have the people around me tell me that. People in relationships tell me that. Family members tell me that. He was constantly bombarding my mind with this thought. But I caught it. Once I got on to it, baby, it was on and popping, right? So I identified the attack. Recognize. That's what you want to do. You want to recognize the attack. The second thing you want to do is to exercise your decision-making abilities, right? Or let your guards and your soldiers go into action. Contrary to popular beliefs, You do have the ability to reject or renounce any thought that comes to your mind. Just because it comes in doesn't mean we have to accept it. You are a failure. Says who? What? Reject. Denied. I recognize that this is not a thought of God. I recognize it. Now I reject it. Now, how do I reject it? Do I receive this thought? Do I believe this thought? Does it line up with God's word? No? Okay, I reject it. Your God's going to say, entry to the gates denied. I just keep seeing the little gate rolling down, and you just with the ropes and all of that stuff, and the gate coming down. No, baby, we're not moving. No ropes moving over here. The final step, we've recognized it. We've rejected it. Now we're going to replace it with the truth. Declare, I am a success because I meditate and I act upon God's word. And that was my it was a combination of Joshua 1 and 8 and Psalms chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. You know, because I'd be like a tree planted by the water, its leaves shall not wither. You're right. So I kind of combined the two of those. And anytime that enemy would come to me and tell me you're a failure, I would declare, no, I'm a success because I meditate and I act upon God's word according to Joshua 1, 8 and Psalms, right? Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Remember, because what you feel is a direct result of what you're going to believe, which is a result of what you think. So you got to shut that down at the gate. You got to shut it down. I'm going to say it again. What you feel, it's going to get to your heart. It only gets to your heart if you believe it. Right? And you're only going to believe it if you think it. So you got to be careful to shut it down at the gate. Recognize the attack. Reject anything that does not align with the word of God, and then replace it with positivity, but more importantly, replace it with the truth. And as I end this podcast, I want to say, as we stand on the precipice of a new year filled with hopes and expectations, it's imperative to acknowledge that the transformative power we seek doesn't solely lie in the turnover of the calendar. While the desire for prosperity is a universal one, we've dissected a crucial misconception that prosperity is confined only to monetary gains. Now, I've created a resource that I feel going to go along with today's episode, and it's called Our Self-Discovery Assessment. And you can download this assessment at NewberryHealth.com/discovery. That's NewberryHealth.com/discovery. That's NewberryHealth.com/discovery. This is a powerful tool designed to guide you toward a life aligned with your values, with your passion, and with your purpose. And I also have something else I want to offer. Introducing The Cultivated Woman, a 30-day devotional journal designed to empower women to cultivate faith, wisdom, and purpose. In a world that often pulls us in 100 different directions, The Cultivated Woman brings you back to your core. Each page is a journey of self-discovery, reflection, and renewal, a space where you can explore your faith, gain wisdom, and unlock your true purpose. Whether you're a career-driven professional, a dedicated mother, or embarking on a new chapter, The Cultivated Woman is your companion on this transformative path. Order your copy today at NewberryHealth.com/shop. That's NewberryHealth.com/shop to start cultivating the life you are destined for. The Cultivated Woman, your journey to empowerment. If I say so myself, this was a pretty powerful episode. Yeah, it was a pretty good one. And if you thought it was a good episode, don't forget to get a copy of your journal, The Cultivated Woman. Don't forget to download our free resource, your self-discovery assessment. But also, the next time you visit your avocado's neighbor home, sneak into their bedroom and replace their house slippers with banana peels.
Got it! Got it!
Until next time, peace, love, and wellness from the Cultivated Vegan herself. Thanks for listening. I pray that the information shared on today's episode was both valuable and life-changing. Feel free to follow me on social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Rumble. Also, if you wish to financially support the podcast, links to Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee are in the show notes. And please don't forget to subscribe and share. Bye!